Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
And just how well did Gingrich do in South Carolina, or how badly did Romney do? Demographically, it was astounding. Dante Cheney from Patchwork Nation follows the demographics of election results county by county all across America. We'll compare South Carolina and Florida through this lens. Hi, Dante. Welcome back to WNYC.
Oh, hey. How you doing this morning?
All right. And listeners, we invite you to our nationwide county by county map for campaign 2012. Created by WNYC's data journalism guru, John Keefe, in conjunction with Patchwork Nation. Go to WNYC.org and click on Brian Lehr Show and follow along if you like, or go to our politics website, itsfreecountry.org. Dante Gingrich won in 43 out of 46 South Carolina counties. What was the range of his victory demographically?
It was a pretty good day for Newt Gingrich. He won everywhere. I mean, if you do just a kind of standard demographic breakdown using the exit polls, I think the most interesting thing was Romney has had this strength among wealthier voters where he's won people over $100,000. He didn't even win those. Romney didn't even win those people in South Carolina.
Only won people who made over $200,000.
$200,000, right? Which is really a pretty rarefied airspace there.
So when somebody wants to say he's the candidate of the 1%, they can say it almost literally now.
I do think that, look, this is a real problem for him. And, we've noticed this with Patchwork Nation, that he's always won these places called the moneyed burbs. Now, hey, look, most people don't make over $100,000 a year, which I think comes as a shock to some people in Washington. But, those moneyed burb places, they do better than average, and he's done well with those people, Romney has. He didn't do well with them in South Carolina. He lost those people. And it's because, I think, that the slice of the income pie he's pulling from is very small, or at least it was extremely small in South Carolina. We'll see what happens now that we go down to Florida and the terrain changes a bit.
And then when you look at some of these other demographic indicators from the exit polls, yes, he only won by income, 200,000 plus. He only won by education, postgraduate work. So
yeah.
People who are high school dropouts and people who have bachelor's degrees, all that entire range voted in the majority for Gingrich in this primary. Also, he had no gender gap. Women voted for Gingrich in the same proportion as men, including married women, despite what his history is.
I know, it does suggest a different kind of approach for presidential candidates going forward and trying to win the woman vote. I don't know. Those numbers were really startling to me. They really were. And, I think what we saw, look, the real question is, is this just a South Carolina thing? Is this just that Romney simply does not translate into South Carolinian voterese? I mean, I suppose that's a possibility. But like I said, it's interesting how broad-based the loss was. I know that we like to think that every, states are all different, and they are somewhat, but not as much as you think. And the fact that he did so poorly across all those types of places suggests that it's more, to me anyway, suggests that it's more than just, it was just a bad terrain for him. It suggests something fundamentally happened in that last week in South Carolina in terms of the way people saw him. And I would add, nationally as well, the national polls closed dramatically last week between Romney and Gingrich in terms of who Republicans would like to see get the nomination.
Here is Gingrich on Meet the Press yesterday on why he won South Carolina.
I think they sent two really big messages, which I wish the national establishment could pick up. The first is real pain. There's tremendous unemployment. People really are hurting. The number of people who walked up to me who've been out of work for a year and a half, people who want to work hard, who want to have a better future, who want to provide for their families, that was really there. The second, though, which I think nobody in Washington and New York gets, is the level of anger at the national establishment.
So when you look at the types of counties you follow,
right,
were the results different in South Carolina than Iowa or New Hampshire?
Yeah, they were. They really were. Well, you know, first of all, there are some things in South Carolina. There really are types of place that we didn't see. You know, Iowa and New Hampshire are very different from South Carolina, and there are obviously a lot more African Americans in South Carolina than in either New Hampshire or Iowa.
Not voting in the Republican primary, though.
Well, that's true. That's true. But the population makes a big difference in terms of the way the Caucasians kind of see the world. It really is interesting that we found that when we look at these things, that these places with a lot of African Americans, counties with a lot of African Americans, the racial tensions are heightened. And actually, so the way you reach those voters is actually different in some ways. Race plays a bigger role. I thought that, you know, I heard you talking to Eleanor Cliff before I came on, and some of those questions you asked, you know, look, Gingrich was clearly, you know, I don't know how to say, you know, playing the race card, whatever. I mean, he was bringing up issues that he thought would resonate with certain kinds of voters in South Carolina, and it worked. Cultural conservatives, those people in those African American communities, also the blacks and the whites, they both tend to be stronger evangelical base in terms of their faiths. He played those cards very well. The one thing I don't understand about Gingrich, and Gingrich is a really interesting guy because he's fun to watch in the debates because, you know, it's nice to, I guess, if you enjoy watching people yell at mainstream media moderators, he's a great guy. But he says things that are just completely inconsistent, like the clip you just played there. I think it's interesting that Gingrich wants to reach out and be the populist candidate now. I guess that kind of makes sense in a lot of ways because I think there's a lot of energy over there on both sides, and Democrats and Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't fit with what he says at the debates. At the debate, he talked about Obama's giving out too much unemployment and they're creating a dependency society, which is just doesn't fit with the reality in any way, shape, or form of what's going on in the country right now. So it's going to be interesting to watch Gingrich try to balance all these things because he wants to be the populist candidate, but he still wants to be against giving away too much to people, but he wants to talk about how high the unemployment rate is, but then he doesn't want to give out unemployment to people, unemployment insurance. It's interesting.
Well, it almost comes down to a paradox in the minds of a lot of Republican voters. And again, looking at demographics and looking at different demographic groups within each party, do you see a large block of voters out there who can square the two messages, who can hear Gingrich rail against Wall Street on the one hand and then say that we should repeal the Dodd-Frank Obama regulations on Wall Street?
Right, I know. It's I've got to say, like, as a journalist, as somebody who covers this stuff, it's a little maddening. It really is. I don't know. This is what I think the real test is going to be this. How different was South Carolina from Florida? The thing that's going to be interesting to watch in Florida, and I think in a lot of states to come, is these wealthy suburban areas. Like we said, you know, Romney lost those. There are only two of those counties in South Carolina, and, you know, they're moneyed burbs maybe by South Carolina standards. And, you know, they fit the category nationally, but they're not really as wealthy as some other places.
Right.
But what happens when you get down to Florida and you've got, you know, and you've got Broward and you've got Pinellas and Palm Beach County? I mean, these places are going to be really, really interesting. I will say this. In the general election, I think Gingrich has a hard time with some. He's going to have a hard time with some of those places. The question now in the Republican, these primaries is, can he win those places among Republican voters? Because I'll tell you what, if Romney has problems in those moneyed burb counties, those wealthy suburban counties in Florida,
He's
got big problems, real big problems, coming down the road.
I guess we'll find out in the next week. One other kind of county before you go, Latino-oriented counties in, I guess, Miami-Dade. I don't know if you, I don't know how you, which category you put Miami-Dade into, but we haven't seen really any black or Latino voters in the first three primaries. There are a lot of Latino Republicans, mostly Cuban Americans in Florida.
Yeah, that's true. And that does make that vote kind of inherently a little different. There are a lot of those counties in Florida. We call them immigration nation. But, you know, they tend, you know, out west, those issues are about south of the border, Mexico. And in Florida, it's slightly different because of the Cuban element. But though that's, you know, that's not the power once was. There's different things going on down there, Dominicans. What's going to happen in those places, I think, is going to be really interesting. And I think that Gingrich may actually see some payoff down there with some of the stuff he said in these other debates about not wanting, you know, if a family's been here for 20 years, what are you going to do? Just send them home. That's an argument that's going to play well in places like that. I really do think it's going to play well. And actually, I thought it was interesting. He didn't get punished for that point of view in South Carolina at all, which I thought was it surprised me a little bit. But what's happening with Gingrich right now is it's just Republicans want so much somebody to give voice to their anger, and their anger with how things are going, that he's riding that wave.
Dante Cheney from Patchwork Nation. And again, listeners, we invite you to a nationwide county-by-county map for Campaign 2012, created by WNYC's data journalism guru John Keefe in conjunction with Patchwork Nation. You can now see the county-by-county results for the three states that have voted so far and preview Florida. Go to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show. Dante Cheney, we'll keep talking.
Yeah, we'll talk to you next week.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Now we turn to the State of the Union address. President Obama takes the political spotlight tomorrow night in what will be the annual address to the nation, but also no doubt a campaign kickoff for this year, with these Republican hopefuls out bashing him every day of the week. And we are going to talk to a very interesting former Democratic congressman from Virginia, which was a swing state in 2008 that Obama carried, former Congressman Tom Perriello, who's now the head of the Center for American Progress Action Fund. Stay with us.